Can turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1 this morning. Psalm chapter 1. Not long ago, Kate and I planted some vegetables in our garden. And the reason why you plant vegetables is so that you can receive the produce from those plants. You know that if you do the right things and the weather is favorable, then your plants will be fruitful. And so you take measures to try to get those vegetables to be fruitful. You plant them in good soil. You plant them somewhere where there's good sunlight. You make sure to weed the garden and you water them often. We all know that trees or plants can flourish, be prosperous and fruitful. So we take care of them. Well, what if I told you that instead of giving you seeds, I'd give you chaff to plant? Now, chaff is the husk surrounding the seed of wheat. When you winnow the wheat, the chaff is blown away. And chaff is something useless. It's something that you throw away and get rid of. So again, if I told you and that I'd give you chaff to plant, you would probably think I'm crazy and deny the offer. And the reason is because chaff is useless. And it's not going to do anything if you plant it. Well, this morning we see this vivid comparison between a tree firmly planted by a stream of water and chaff. One has a deep root and is fruitful. The other has no root and is worthless. Let's read the passage for this morning. It says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." In this passage, there are two types of people contrasted, the righteous and the wicked. And we first come to find out that the righteous person is blessed. So verse 1 starts out with giving the main summary of the righteous person. They are blessed. The person who is right with God is happy. They are truly blessed because they have God's favor. As we live now after the cross, we can look back and see that true blessing comes from being forgiven, being one of God's children. So this blessed man is really a true believer in Jesus Christ. We are fortunate, privileged, not because we worked ourselves into this position, but because Christ did it all. For some reason, our culture believes that blessing is primarily financial blessing. Why do we do that? We see someone with lots of money, lots of possessions, a good stable career, and we say, they are blessed. But as you look through the New Testament, you see how Christ reshapes our thinking on blessing. Just think of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the persecuted, just to name a few. Blessing can involve money, but mostly blessing is everything that comes from being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Mercy, comfort, satisfaction, being in the kingdom, being called a child of God, etc. Paul says that we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. That's where the true lasting blessing is found. So as we look at this passage, think of it in terms of these things. Spiritual blessings, not simply material things. And in this text, we see the mindset of the blessed person. So they're not influenced by ungodly people. They don't live the way ungodly people do. So this blessed person doesn't live his or her life by what the wicked say. They don't walk in their counsel, but in the counsel of the Word of God. Our world bombards us with messages, trying to give us counsel on how to live life. They say, do what makes you happy. Or just love yourself. Or find your own truth. They may try to push their errant perspective on issues. Or a materialistic mindset. And their counsel and advice is often off base. It's not in line with the Word of God. But the Christian doesn't live in light of the world's fallible counsel, but in light of God's infallible word. This person also doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Standing in the way of sinners indicates a desire to be associated with them and to be with them in their evil actions. So instead of seeing them and passing on, standing in the way would mean to go their way of life and want it. As Christians, God has shown us what is right and wrong. So we shouldn't want to be in the same path as those who sin and don't care. And also, the blessed man doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. So the blessed man doesn't completely identify with the person who scoffs at God and his ways. He doesn't say, hey guys, I'm one of you. In their sinful actions and words. Do you join in sin with other people? Do you desire to do the wrong things that they do? Are you influenced more by what the culture says and does over what God says? Oh, may we not live that way. May we not join in the sinful ways or mindsets of others, but avoid sin. And why does the blessed man not do these things? Because he's rooted in the Word of God, which shows him the right and wise way to live. In fact, he delights and meditates on it day and night. His delight and knowledge of the Word of God push him to not join in sin, but to avoid it. And notice what it comes down to. Delight. The more you delight in the Word, the less appealing sin is. The path of the wicked, sinners, and scoffers is seen in all of its dark, ugly colors, and we are drawn to the brilliant light of the Word of God in this passage. And here's the key for the blessed man, the blessed person. The Bible is what shapes the blessed person's conduct and mindset. So the counsel of the wicked, it's foolishness compared to the counsel of God. The way of sinners, it's shown to be wrong compared to the right, wise way of the Lord. The seat of scoffers, it's seen as a seat of nails compared to the approval of the Almighty. But not only does the righteous man delight in the law of the Lord, but he meditates upon it day and night. We get these weird thoughts about meditation, like we need to sit on the floor with our legs crossed, our eyes closed, and hum. But really, when this psalm uses meditation, it means to intensely study and reflect. It's to ponder Scripture throughout the whole day. Both delight and meditation are important. So delight in God's Word makes sin less appealing, but meditation upon the Word makes sin more clearly known. You may delight in the Bible, but if you don't know what it says, that's not really helpful. And if you meditate upon Scripture but not delight in it, then you're just going through heartless, empty motion. So the mindset of the blessed man is that he isn't influenced by ungodly people, but is shaped by God's Word. Now as the psalmist goes into verse 3, he shows us what the blessed person is like. He or she is like a tree planted by streams of water. As we are into spring season now, it's almost like the world around us comes to life. Bugs start to reappear. Those pesky ants come out. Spiders spin their webs. Birds begin chirping. All you have to do is look around right now and you'll see signs of spring, signs of growth, signs of life. Flowers start to pop up. Grass starts to grow. Trees get their leaves back. But this growth can only happen if there are essential things in place. So trees and plants need sunlight. They need water. Therefore, a crucial part of a tree or plant's growth is where it's planted. Have you ever seen those pictures of a desert? And most of the area is dry and dead, but then there's a small section of green growth. So how is there that section of green, healthy trees? Because they're planted by a source of water. Those trees and plants are continually fed water because of their proximity to the water. So also, the blessed person is like a tree because they are firmly planted on Scripture. A tree by a stream pictures stability and growth and life. So the blessed person's life is rooted, growing, bearing fruit. This image pictures our spiritual life in Christ. Christ provides stability for our life as we're planted on His Word. Scripture is our foundation for knowing who we are, what we believe, what we do, and we never ought to move away from that foundation. So we are planted, but we're also given continual nourishment by the streams of water. These streams of water are none other than Christ, who continually nourishes us. Where He gives us eternal life. He gives us the strength for the day. He provides grace for each situation. And the streams that He provides don't ever dry up, but are a constant source of life and empowerment that we need. And this stability and nourishment from Christ produce something in us, fruit and growth. We are like a tree yielding fruit in its season. And this fruit is good works. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is godly character. And notice how it's in its season. No, we won't always see the fruit immediately in our lives, but it will come at the proper time. But think about another aspect of a tree's fruit. It blesses others. Other people can enjoy the fruit. So may we rest on Christ's word and grace so that we bear more and more fruit to the glory of God, all the while others are blessed by it. And as a healthy tree's leaves don't wither, so with Christ as our water source, our spiritual lives will have nonstop life and health. And at the end of verse 3 it says, "In all that He does, He prospers." We must not think of that phrase in a worldly, material perspective. Because the prosperity that God gives isn't according to the world's view of prosperity. So think about this. Do you think that Paul would be seen as prosperous according to the world's view of prosperity? What about Christ? This is spiritual, soul prosperity. We know that we face various trials, and in the world's view, that isn't really prospering. Spurgeon said, "It is not outward prosperity with which the Christian most desires and values. It is soul prosperity which he longs for." It is often the trials that grow us deeper, and therefore they prosper us more spiritually. In Christ, we are blessed like a tree planted by streams of water. We have stability, growth, and life. Christian, are you thankful for this? Are you taking advantage of the times provided to grow. Not only is a blessed man like a tree planted by a stream, but he is known by God. Verse 6a says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous." Of course, God knows everything. He knows everyone. But knowing in this verse speaks to intimate care, concern for another person. God knows your way. He knows the whole course of your life. Nothing gets past his sight. So your hardships, trials, and tears are known. Your faithfulness that no one else sees is seen by him. He knows your heart, your motivations. He knows your past, present, and future. He wholly understands you, cares for you, and protects you. Church of God, the Lord knows you with affection and approval because you are in Christ. You know, there's nothing better than to be known by God. For when God knows you, you're his child. You're delivered from eternal perishing. And this chapter gives us a lot of information about the righteous person, how they're blessed, but also includes some information about the wicked person. The wicked person is not blessed. Now, there are a lot of opposites in the world. Water and fire, clean and dirty, fast and slow. And in each of those examples, there is a clear contrast. Well, in this great psalm, there is a great contrast. While the blessed man avoids the wicked way, delights in the law of the Lord, is like a tree planted by streams, is known by God, the wicked person is not these things at all. Instead, he's tree. Instead of a tree, he's chaff. Now, when this passage speaks of the wicked, it is the unbeliever. It is the person who does not trust the Lord. In fact, they are rejecting God. And after describing what the righteous man is like, he says, the wicked are not so. So everything that the righteous person is not applicable to the wicked person. The wicked person is not stable, fruitful, or prosperous in their spiritual life. Instead, they have no spiritual life. They're not rooted in God, but they follow their own wisdom. They are dead spiritually. They have no stability, substance, or source of life. They're unfruitful. They don't prosper. Like chaff, they bring no lasting eternal benefit to anyone. And since they are chaff, they will not stand in judgment, meaning they have no defense when they stand before God. You see, the Christian stands before God, and their defense is Christ, what Christ did on the cross. But the unbeliever has no defense. What can they say to a holy God who they sinned against? Nothing. They can't make a case. And they will have no place in the assembly of the righteous. Ultimately, the way of the wicked will perish, since God knows their hearts and lives. It may look like they're prospering from a worldly perspective, but they're on their way to ruin, destruction. You see, the most important factor in the world that separates the righteous and the wicked is their relationship with God. Either you have believed in Christ and are blessed, or you have not believed and are not blessed. Either you love God's word and you are known by him and approved by him in Christ Jesus, or you love your own wisdom and you are on your way to ruin. So you are either a tree or chaff. Which are you? Have you trusted in Christ for salvation? If not, do that today. If you have trusted in Christ, continually look to him for the grace and power needed to live a godly life. For if you think about it, he is the perfect example of the blessed man in Psalm 1. He perfectly walked not, stood not, sat not in the way of sinners, but instead he bore the sin of sinners by being our substitute. He perfectly delighted and knew the law of the Lord because he was the Word. He is the living water who we, as trees planted by grace, are nourished by. So may we bear more and more fruit as we grow from his word and his work, for in him we are truly blessed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for who you are, that you are a gracious and loving God who desires to bless people. We desire to bless those who are in Christ. And it's in Christ who you graciously sent to us to provide the way to have eternal life. We thank you that we who are believers can say we are blessed. Not in our amazing deeds, our amazing personalities, no. But because Christ. And all we're doing is simply placing our trust in him. We're having faith in him. And we are blessed. And I pray if there's someone here today who has not believed, that they would trust in Christ's work on the cross, understand that they're a sinner, trust in his work on the cross and how he rose from the grave, defeating death, that they would believe that. That they would trust that, and then they could truly say, I'm blessed. Thank you for all that you have done, what you're doing in our lives, and what you will do. In Christ's name, amen.